Good afternoon. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Coming at you from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. It's Monday, May 20th, and Bill is on vacation. He's actually on his mini vacation, so he popped two of them into 1 week. I hope you're taking in some of his terrific photos from the California coast on his Facebook page. Go check him out and leave a comment for our friend Bill Buckmaster. The show comes to you live Monday through Friday at noon. You can check out Bill's past shows or the live stream at buckmastershow.com. And what a library that is if you want to know all about Pima County and beyond. Our Monday one-on-one guests are from Casa de los Niños. That's a group that I no doubt that you've heard of, and we're going to dig deep into what they do for the community. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be looking at education. It's graduation week for a lot of schools around here. I know down in Sahuarita, where I live, we have two of them planned this week. We're going to be joined by a young man who is going to be on the stage getting his diploma, and his dad's joining us as well. And we're going to be talking about his experience in the education system and where we think education is going. We'd love to have you join the conversation. If you have a question or comment, you can reach us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, wall art, picture framing, hanging services and systems, you name it, Moe's has it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, and you can find them on Facebook. I'd like to welcome to the show two folks from Casa de los Niños. We have Dr. Jennifer Key. She is the Behavioral Health Clinical Director, and Faven Gebremariam. She is holds an MBA, and she's the Vice President of Development and Public Relations. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
And great to have you here. I went to an open house recently at Casa de los Niños, and I simply could not believe what I was seeing. It was one of those places where you drive by it on Speedway all the time. You hear about them. Mm-hmm. And to get in there and to see what you really do was eye-opening. So, Jennifer, can you tell us an overview, a little bit of history? I know you're celebrating 50 years. What do you do?
So right now, I think we still try to do the mission of our founder. So Sister Kathleen Clark founded us in 1973, and she really wanted to protect children from abuse and neglect. And so we've kind of taken that a step further into prevention and treatment and intervention. And I oversee the behavioral health side of things and really work with a great team of therapists and care coordinators. We have direct support staff to really support children who are at risk of abuse, neglect. Maybe they've experienced a crisis in their lives. So really help them heal and be able to hopefully break some cycles of trauma.
So you are a 501c3 nonprofit.
Yep.
And Faven, how are you financed?
It's a great question. Most of our dollars right now come from government awards. So fee-for-service contracts that we have for things like our parenting time program or our foster care program and even Jen's program, behavioral health. These are subsidies from the government based on grants that we fill out and are awarded. Some we don't have to fill out. We just have a partnership with. But the vast majority of our budget is comes from grant funding. And then we do have, my team is responsible for private donations through individual donors, foundations, individual grant opportunities, and then we have a very robust community of in-kind supporters. So people in the community who want to provide back-to-school backpacks, which, by the way, if anyone does, it's that's going to be right around the corner.
Plug away.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, gifts at Christmas time. So we have this really wonderful, robust group of donors here in Southern Arizona, but actually all over the country, because as Jen mentioned, we've been around for 50 years. And when Sister Kathleen opened the doors in 1973, the physical location was here in Pima County, but some of those children that were part of the crisis shelter have grown up and moved away and still have deep connections to Casa de los Niños. They remember their time at Casa de los Niños, and they remember the impact that it had on them and their caregivers, sometimes moms, sometimes dads, sometimes grandparents. And they're excited to, just like you, Dan, come back and see how it's evolved and how it's grown. You know, we are very excited and very proud of the fact that we've been able to grow with our community needs, right? Our community needed one thing, and mm-hmm. then now they need something different. And so to be able to be nimble enough to recognize those things is really remarkable. So we're very proud of that.
Well, there's just so many things I'd want to bring up all at the same time because they all just left an impression. But as people are driving past the campus on Speedway, they're going to see two houses.
Yep.
And they just look like old-time Tucson adobes that have been there forever. And then you go and inside, you really see it clicked for me when I walked in there. Uh-huh. Exactly what you do. What happens in those two houses?
Those are our very special, we call them the casitas, and they are two homes, like you said, right on our campus, right on Speedway and Fifth, and they are solely dedicated to the parenting time program. So formerly known as supervised visitation, this is an opportunity for families to reunite together in a safe and dignified space. So be it that children were removed from their parents for by the court system or by Arizona family law, they have to reunify in a space that is supervised. And we at Casa de los Niños were actually the first accredited supervised visitation program in the world. And we are best in class in this. We allow for parents to come to a home-like setting and reunify with their children. One of the most horrific things in the world is not being able to access your children. And mm-hmm. so to be able to open the doors to a home with a couch and a kitchen and a backyard, and to be able to humanize this experience that is so often so traumatizing for the children and their families is something we're incredibly proud of. And I think you're right. I think people drive by and they go, oh, two little houses that were built in the 50s in Tucson and nothing special. And then you go in and you're like, wow, this is actually really life-changing for people. And it brings a humanity and, like I said, a dignity back to this experience.
Sure.
It's not just, under the fluorescent lights in the basement of some federal building with a stranger watching you interact with your kid.
This visit there for me had me redefining in my mind what trauma is. Mm. Because you think you know what it is, and then now I've had this expanded or much deeper definition. Dr. Jennifer Key, the organization deals with trauma alike. What does it look like and how do you approach it?
So we really take trauma in a sense that this is something that impacts everyone from our staff to our clients. And so we try to take it in that client-centered approach where we're trying to meet those kiddos where they're at. And what that looks like is it can look very stressful for that kid coming into therapy. They're very scared and frightened and they've had this distressful event that has occurred. So we really want to try to meet them where they're at with our approach. So that's where it comes in. We have talk therapy. However, we also do play therapy and we do EMDR therapy, which is another form of trauma therapy, an evidence-based treatment that really takes that, it accelerates for EMDR. It's going to accelerate the treatment process and healing process. It uses bilateral stimulation to reprocess the brain so that that really bad thing that happened is not impacting that kid's life as much anymore.
Sounds expensive. Do the clients pay?
So we do have some fee-for-service. We have a sliding fee scale mm-hmm. that we can utilize. However, most of our families are under Medicaid, so we take access. And our clinicians that were trained in EMDR, that was through one of our grants that we were able to receive. The training is very expensive, and EMDR used to be something that could only be had if you go through a private organization. However, we have several therapists who are now trained in this modality who provide this type of treatment for our kiddos and families.
Fabian, you mentioned private donations and volunteers. How much do you rely on those? Do you have any numbers as far as what the contributions are? And if somebody wants to help, they've already decided, that's for me. Where can they go?
It's so deeply personal. As you decide your personal or your family's philanthropic goals and impact and legacy, I think if people want to learn more about Casa de los Niños and the independent and individual impact they can have, they can head over to CasaDeLosNiños.org, or they can reach out to me directly. My contact information is on the website. It's about 10% of our budget is mm-hmm. coming from individuals and foundations and well-meaning individual human beings
sure.
who provide an opportunity for us all the time to apply for grants or you know, have us in their priorities on a yearly basis. So we have a really substantial and robust group of people who give every year, and we're so fortunate for that, because to Dr. Jen's point, most of the services that we offer at Casa de los Niños, we don't charge our clients for. And outside of behavioral health, that's not the only thing we provide. We provide a robust offering of services, and a lot of it is free. And so who's paying for that, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, we want to keep it that way. We don't want to change that experience. We want people in our community to be able to access equitable and decent care for themselves and their families. It's part of our care philosophy, is being able to not nickel and dime you and make this inaccessible for you and your families, because so much of the world is already inaccessible, and mental and behavioral health and early education and support in general shouldn't be.
Okay, this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open Tuesday through Sunday for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to their mouth-watering pastries, including the famous Danish Kringle. Mona'sDanishBakery.com or BuckmasterShow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. You can find Mona's, again, at Mona'sDanishBakery.com or go to BuckmasterShow.com. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolow Village Studio. And our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
And welcome back to the Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Southeast Sun, and we are giving Bill the week off. You have just joined us in the middle of the Monday One-on-One interview with Dr. Jennifer Key and Favin Gebran-Merriam with Casa de los Niños. We were talking a little bit off the air. People can come by and get a tour if they want, just like I had.
Yeah, I think you had what was our very first Grata tour. It was a little bit of a bigger production. But I think if people are interested in understanding what's behind the doors on this campus that they drive by, they should come, and we'll accommodate best we can to help people understand what we do every single day. So yes, I'm saying yes.
Absolutely worth it. Yeah, take the time to do it. It's absolutely worth it. You should know that this is going on right in the middle of your community, and it's a way to help. So I want to talk about the early education programs, because for me, we have been talking about some of the trauma stuff and other things going on during the tour. And then we come to this, and it was almost like a sigh of relief, because I could tell a lot goes on there. Tell us about the education programs, who's there, how it's paid for, and what the future is.
Yeah. So thank you for bringing that up. That is one of our happiest shining stars on campus, I would say. It's our Kelly Early Education Center. It actually is where the crisis shelter used to be. So once we realized that crisis modality, the crisis shelter model wasn't no longer best practice for the children in our community, we made a pivot to early education. And so we are licensed. We're a licensed early education center right in the center of town. 85705, for those that don't know, is the most vulnerable zip code in Tucson, and that's where we live. We are licensed for 100 children ages 6 weeks to 5 years old, and it is a learning-based education care center. We have very, very small teacher-to-student ratios on purpose. The children are learning science and art and math and friendship and social, emotional mechanisms throughout this entire experience. And the whole purpose of the Kelly Early Education Center, which, by the way, just received a 4-star Quality First rating for the second time, which is no small feat. So big shout out to the Kelly team. The whole purpose is for kindergarten readiness. Like any early education center, we are tasked with the incredible challenge and difficulty and honor of rearing the next group of leaders. You know, so much of your development happens before you're 5 years old. And as at an organization like Casa de los Niños, we can provide a very quality early education experience for those 100 children that might otherwise not be able to afford it. And we're one of the things we're most proud of at the Kelly Early Education Center is that about 70% of our children go to school for free. So those are DCS and DES subsidized scholarships for families. And then the 30% that do pay are on a sliding scale based on their caregiver's income. So it is very possible that a lot of these children who sometimes have high needs and have been, you know, asked to leave different early education centers for different behavioral outbursts, they wouldn't have access to this otherwise. And so it's so incredible that we have this as a part of our offering right here on campus. And it just lends to the nature of it being such a collaborative process, right? Because if a child is enrolled at the Kelly Early Education Center and a teacher recognizes that maybe that child has been through a little bit more trauma, then they can walk over and get behavioral health over on Jen's side of the campus. And so it really highlights this fluidity and this cohesiveness of our working space with one sort of centralized campus. But Kelly's a very special place because otherwise these children potentially wouldn't have the same access to this education like their peers north of River.
It is almost, and I don't know if you like this term or not, it's full service.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it felt like as questions were raised in one area on the tour, the next area answered those questions. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was set up that way or not, but it worked. it worked for me. So Dr. Jennifer Key, it is always best to deal with issues before they become issues. How is that done?
So by the time that sometimes we get the kiddos, something has already happened. We know that trauma can occur really at any point, at any stage, in any age. And we know that adverse childhood events do impact healthcare in general. So, and it actually does impact even lifespan negatively as well. So really having these services, psychiatric services, individual and family therapy, our groups, we have social emotional learning, parenting groups. We have groups for teens, our transition aged youth, and all of our groups are trauma informed. We also have case management, family support, direct services. We offer in person and telehealth health services. We also do ADOS, which is an autism evaluation. Mm-hmm. So if we have a kiddo that is displaying some symptoms of autism, we're able to do an evaluation, get them a diagnosis so that we can hook them up with DDD services so they can have all of the supports that they need in order to be successful.
Faven, what's the value of having the program in English and Spanish?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, so many of our community in Tucson in general is Spanish-speaking. And
sure.
So, you know, you're already, you're in a, like Jen said, people aren't necessarily coming to Casa de los Niños because they're having a great time. Mm-hmm. There's something going on, and for then language to be a barrier to that is so challenging. And so we're very lucky to have bilingual therapists. We're very lucky to have bilingual educators. I think it's a priority for us. It will always be a priority for us to have not only our staff represent our community, but their, you know, the access to be available in a language that's comfortable for people to speak and to understand in. You know, we don't want that to be the barrier. I think, you know, having our programs sort of sectioned into these, you know, we like to think about them internally as intervention programs, prevention programs, and treatment programs, all being able to be explained and expressed and accessed in Spanish is incredibly important.
Tell us a little bit more about the foster programs. Exactly.
Yeah.
What is your involvement in that, and how does it work?
Yeah, so we actually help assist individuals seeking foster care licensure and adoption certification by offering really important information on how to do that. So we are not a foster care home. We do not have children living on campus, but we do provide the education and the credentialing needed for people who want to go through the foster care licensing or adoption process. So we work with partner organizations in the community to help secure and make these placements. We also do DDD, which is a developmental homes for adults. So we help families who want to foster or who open their homes for older individuals who need to be in a group-like setting. And so that's another program. We see that as part of our intervention grouping of programs, if you will. And it's something we're really proud of. We be able to provide support and guidance to individuals caring for adults and children with disabilities, developmental disabilities, or just wanting to be parents themselves, and this is the best way for them to do that.
Dr. Key, would it be unusual for one of your employees to be called out in the middle of the night?
We do offer crisis services for our clients and families who are enrolled with us. So we do go out in the middle of the night sometimes to support.
And then what is your relationship with, like, then, apropos of that, with police, other NGOs, other, you know, nonprofits in the area? I mean, is there some sort of collaboration, understanding, communication going on? I mean, because it takes a lot of people to deal with these issues.
Yes, it does. It takes a lot of collaboration, and we collaborate with our local behavioral health hospitals, so Sonora Palo Verde, along with our crisis mobile team at police and fire, to make sure that if we do have a crisis that we're also reporting those, and we're staying on the lines with our families, or we're driving out to that home and making sure that they get the support that they need during that crisis. It's challenging.
Faven, we got about 30 seconds. What do you need right now?
Well, we always, Dan, the answer is support. We're always looking for new individuals who want to get involved, either potentially wanting to volunteer in a board capacity or donate. We want people to come, and we want people to learn more about Casa de los Niños. We need more evangelists in the streets. We need people who know what's going on, like you, to help us elevate our mission. But always, in order to keep programs alive and open and free, we need people to donate. So, you know, head over to CasaDeLosNiños.org to learn how you can do that via, you know, actual donations or in kind, you know, as well.
Well, very good. Again, I just want to impress upon you how much I learned. It was a terrific evening, and you do great work for 50 years.
Thank you so much, Dan.
Very good. A very big thank you to our guests from Casa de los Niños, Jennifer and Faven. Again, give us the website.
CasaDeLosNiños.org.
Okay, just a reminder that our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge at Moe'sGallery.com and on Facebook. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village Studio. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a student who's graduating from high school this week. How does he size up his education, and does he feel prepared to make that next step? His dad's joining us, too. You can reach us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management at 520-790-2040. We'll be right back.
CBS News Brief. The prosecution in former President Trump's criminal trial has rested CBS's Robert Costa on what's next.
We're still waiting to see whether Trump's lawyers will call additional witnesses. There has been talk about bringing in so-called expert witnesses to talk about election and campaign finance law. It's not clear at this moment whether the Trump team is going to do that.
Furious reaction from Israel to the news that the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court is seeking arrest warrants for its leaders. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
Israeli officials are outraged by this ICC announcement. One cabinet minister described it as a show of hypocrisy and Jew hatred, recalling Nazi propaganda.
The State Department is reacting to the death of Iran's president, spokesman Matthew Miller.
We regret any loss of life. We don't want to see anyone die in a helicopter crash. But that doesn't change the reality of his record, both as a judge and as the president of Iran, the fact that he has blood on his hands.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Good afternoon. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear. It is time to get out of town for a while. If you're looking for a great vacation spot, our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico would love to host you. And at 6,000 feet of elevation, it's nice and cool over there. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, there is a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Learn everything you need to know at southwestnewmexico.org. We now welcome to the show Cutter Pepperts. He's an 18-year-old student at Walden Grove High School. Great to have you, Cutter.
Thank you for having me.
And you are going to graduate, right?
I hope so.
Okay, well, you better know, because I think classes are over, right?
Yeah, they just ended.
They did. So you're going to graduate, right? Because it blows the whole show if you're not.
No, I have to, yeah.
Okay. I know you're graduating. I checked. Okay, so you brought your dad along, Carew Pepperts. He's been on the show a couple of times. Always a pleasure.
Good to be here, Dan.
Oh, good.
As always.
Did I have to pull that out of you? It's not really a pleasure.
Whenever
I have you on, I'm always waiting for that big cane to come from off stage and just pull us off, because we probably deserve it. So so what I wanted to do just for this half hour is really just to talk about education. And as one person who's going from high school to college, and we'll get into that in a little bit, just whether your how your education experience was, whether it was worthwhile or not, whether you know it or not at this point, depending on which sources you want to believe, there are anywhere from 3.5 to 4 million high school graduates this year in the United States. You're one of them. And you're in this really weird time because your school's over, but you don't have a diploma yet.
Yeah.
So you're going to graduate when?
This Friday, so the 25th, officially.
And you're not graduating in the place you wanted to graduate in.
No, that's
physically.
True.
Yeah. Why are you not out on the football field?
The school got a big grant and decided that it would be better to put that money towards renovating the place where everyone has graduated before, which was our football field, and putting the money into fixing that instead of just waiting a couple weeks for us to graduate there. So they moved us to Keno Sports Complex.
Keno Sports Complex. Okay, you're going to live with it. You're going to roll with it. I mean, you've been through COVID.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
There's a touch in your voice that says I'm not happy with this.
just a little bit.
To the point that you actually showed up at a school board meeting.
Yeah, we tried talking to the school about, you know, it's kind of unfair. They gave us some options, but no one really knew what was happening. And by the time they made their final decision, no one was really sure what was going on. And so they finally just sent out an email saying, hey, this is where we're doing it. Show up.
Okay. So, you know, and again, if you go back 4 years, that class of 2020 didn't even have a graduation, as I believe there was a teacher at Walden Grove who at the last minute said, you know what, kids, get your caps and gowns on, go on over to the field, and at least it was kind of an informal thing, and it was really nice. You raised, though, this bigger question of life, of speaking up when you feel the need to, and whether one agrees with you or not on this whole thing, you did that. Your generation doesn't typically do that. Why not?
Oh, geez, that's a good question.
yeah, it's been around for about 200 years.
So. Yeah.
2,000 years, is that?
Maybe 2,000, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just we don't speak up as much because social media is the easier way to speak up instead.
But are you really, you know what? I didn't hear because I don't do social media that much. But so you have a narrow audience with social media.
Yeah, you kind of choose who you want to target it to.
Okay, but wouldn't you want everybody to know, say, in this situation, what was going on?
I guess so, yeah. I feel like that would probably be the best plan, but the people that it was really about was us, so the target audience was really just the people who are graduating.
Really, the target audience would be people who could change the decision, wouldn't it be?
Well, that too, yeah.
But you really felt like, and I would agree with you, by the way, on this, that it was kind of a last-minute slip it in, here's what you're going to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and to that point too, they put together and Cutter and his friends put together a petition. It was an online petition, granted, sure. And got 600 signatures. And they were
it was 800.
Oh yeah, it was a lot.
Okay, mm-hmm. It was a lot. So, and again, most of those were local. But what was fascinating was the word got out to meet at the district auditorium. And everyone get there. Somebody had called in a local TV station at first calling the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, because you always go
right
to the local newspaper first.
Sure,
I say that with a twinkle in my eye. Otherwise, I'll never be on this program again.
Obey me, you know that.
Okay. And so the word got out. It's like, hey, you got to show up. We're trying to make a statement here. And guess what? Nobody came to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe five of Cutter's buddies went up there and spoke, and that was it.
But Cutter, so there's a lot of ways you could approach this. Did they not care? No, I think a lot of kids cared. Did they not understand how the system works? You know, what is the school board? Why does it meet? Who are these people? Can they really change things? Is the decision already made? I mean, is it a lack of understanding how the system works, or just it just didn't mean that much?
Probably a little bit of everything. I mean, there's probably some effect that no one really knew what the school board meeting was. We sat there for a very long time before they actually let us speak. So I have a feeling maybe some people have been to school board meetings in the past and have just kind of wasted their time, so it wasn't really worth it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And also there was a lot of outside of school events happening. There were multiple signings that day for colleges and scholarships. So a lot of people who were actually planning on showing up were going to those instead. And then I think some people didn't care too much about it. They just cared that we graduated.
Sure.
So the people that were the hardcore dying, like, we want to graduate at our home turf, were busy doing something else that day.
Right.
So it just kind of worked out, unluckily.
If I've ever heard a criticism of school systems nationwide, it is that there's not enough civic education. We don't tell people how the process works, you know, and I would bet that you were maybe required to go to one, either a school board meeting or some sort of a public meeting. Beyond that, do you really know? Do you know who the mayor is? Do you know who how many members there are in the council? Do you know if we're a bipartisan or not? I mean, do you know that we have all these different departments that you can go to and ask for something because they are public servants? Yes, we know that they forget the servant part a lot. But people don't know, particularly young people, we can do this.
Yeah, it's not very publicized that that's an option that we have.
Right.
It's we know it's there and we know they do stuff. And I've even been to a town hall meeting before, but I just don't really know, because it's not – they don't teach us that really. They teach us about U.S. government, the
sure.
federal government, and state governments, which is probably the most important.
Mm-hmm.
But there should also be some level of education about your local government, which it felt like there wasn't any.
And that came in when he went there to the town hall meeting. That was a result of being in Scouts.
Sure. Yeah.
Which was great, because it's another aspect of Scouts that says, hey, you got to know what's going on locally.
You know, and it's real interesting what you say, because I would flip it around, because I think what happens at the local government, these are the people who can really affect your life for better or for worse. Those are the ones I think that are most important. Not that what's going on in Washington isn't important or at the state legislature, but you're going to be most affected by the people who are deciding like which roads will get fixed and which won't, and what kind of security you're going to have at school or not, and all of that. And so there's a lot. I wish people were much more engaged locally. And we did just see down in Sahuarita through the Vulcan project, which was this proposed asphalt plant on the edge of a neighborhood in our town, that what people do and think and how they decide to oppose something does matter. This thing got killed, which was a shock to a lot of people. So anything in school that you wish you'd done?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe not me specifically, but I wish, like, more as a class we did stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like we didn't really do much until our senior year, and even then it still felt like a lot of people in our senior class kind of were disengaged from what was going on, whether that's due to COVID or just other circumstances. It seemed like a lot of people kind of were checked out from high school by the time junior year rolled around. So it seems like all the school spirit and all the school activities just weren't as fulfilling as they should be.
Okay, and Carew, we see that in life, that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Is or fewer.
Throw me another statistic, but yeah, it's along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's happening in high school too, where you have the people who are going to be much more engaged. And by the way, today they're probably very grateful that they were, because it's a very special time of life. But it's the last thing you want to do is peak at 17. Okay, there's a whole life ahead of you. There's a whole life ahead of you. Speaking of which, what's in store for you?
What's in store? Oh, golly, a lot.
Good.
Going to NAU, so I'm excited for that. Going to start pre-med. I've got about a year done of college already, graduating as a high schooler. So I only have about 3 years of pre-med, and then off to med school is the big picture.
Well, I knew that you were probably going to go that route, so I did a little bit of math, and let me think in my head. You never want to do math at the podium or while you're live on a radio program, but I do believe that right about the time I'm retiring, you'll be going into the workforce. So I want to thank you in advance for paying for my Social Security. So it's going to be very important to me. And I will say that I've been paying for your school for the last 18 years. So, you know, come on, man.
Whatever you say.
You owe me. You owe me. Carew, you had a choice when it came to your son's education. Why public?
Oh, gosh. I would have never thought otherwise.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I was brought up with my folks taught community college, and I've got all my buddies and friends that all are teachers in the public school system. And, you know, I'm a big supporter of public schools. It's really interesting to watch the not public school.
Sure.
AKA charter school system come around. And I've been following it as best I can over the years. And I think what you have is, much like the public schools, there's always a standout school. There's always the A school that everyone runs to and says, this is why we need not public schools. And yet the overall the overall grade for charter schools is about a B.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
And then you begin to wonder, does it help with the student population as a whole to disperse the funds in all these different directions, or does it give the voice that we wanted to? The one thing, Cutter actually did go to two charter schools at one point, because we were sort of far from Green Valley, and mm-hmm. they were the only schools around. And what I saw was so varied and so different, and the amount of people that you could talk to, that you could go to and say, hey, there was a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go to a state. We need to go to above you. Well, there was none. It was all inside the school, right? And yeah.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio with our guest, Cutter Pepritz, and his dad, Carew. And we are talking about the education system and how it went for him and where he's heading next. Please join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate Property Management. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a beautiful 13-acre site that's also home to Socolo Village and all of their fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and socolovillage.com. We are heading into our final segment with high school student, but not for long, Cutter Papritz. Great to have you. And his dad, Carew. Carew, just before we left, we were talking about education options, and you use this term about the money, the pot of money being spread in a lot of different directions. And we know that homeschool students now can receive money, and then we have charter schools, we have private schools, we have public schools, we have, you know, lots of options out there. It almost sounded as if you maybe had some experience that perhaps there is a cutting away at funding for public schools that might be hurting.
I think so. From what I've heard and knowing the superintendents in the area and talking to various teachers. And here's a really interesting thing. So we have our teachers, and they say they give a list to their kids at the beginning of the school year. Here's all the supplies you need. Yeah. Please bring in tissue paper, cleanser, pencils and all this. And parents are like, what the heck? Why are we paying for this? And it's like, you want lower taxes. You don't want to pay for education. It's got to come from somewhere. So it's got to come out of you. You get taxed no matter what, whether it's a hidden tax or the other tax. So, and I think that goes to the heart of the funding that schools get and how it gets watered down.
Sure.
And so then we all don't get the education that we want.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I have been talking with Manny Valenzuela, especially because they've had some incidents at the schools, and the amount of money going into security You know, back when you and I went to school, there was no fences, no gates or anything around schools. Anybody can come on or off the campus. Probably not a good idea. But today, they're like little walled compounds. And all of that is money that is going towards security, and it should, but it's not going into the classroom. So they have these obligations today that they never had before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And that's really, really affecting things. Yeah. So public schools are up against it, without a doubt. But, Cutter, you overall had a good experience in the public schools. Would that be accurate?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. And
especially with a shout-out to Continental.
Yes, sure. Absolutely. That was an incredible experience.
Yeah. Continental is a K-8 school in Green Valley, actually, and it is a one-school school district, which has always been an interesting thing. And people in Green Valley love it because up in Sarita we pay like double the taxes.
It's 107, 6, 7, 8 years old.
Yes. We were around for the 100th anniversary, and they did so a great job and rebuilt the campus a few years ago, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Do you see any, and I'm going to throw this to you, Karu, positive, or what do you see on campus, positive or negative, and obviously getting a lot of the information through your son, that that we might want to get in front of? And I'll throw one at you. For example, is that some schools are really heavily debating banning, and some have, banning cell phones in the classroom, because cell phone is always more interesting than the teacher. So,
and it's really been fascinating watching these schools do that across the country.
Sure, try to
cases, and what they're finding is that kids are more engaged, go figure, and the grade point averages go up, and there's all this stuff. So I guess it's the art of distraction, the ultimate distraction. I mean, I thought it was fascinating that they actually while Cutter was in school, watching how they integrated the phone into school, especially with grades and class. I mean, there are all sorts of stuff. He can speak to that much better than I can. But the interaction, not only the academic interaction, but the social interaction is completely different for kids without the cell phone there.
Sure.
And so I'll let Cutter talk about how it affects. What do you think? Good idea?
To ban them?
No, to hold them for the day, put them in these pouches,
That's the way an 18-year-old is going to hear this. By the way,
I don't know. Phones are definitely bad, and people are on them a lot. But I also think that's because the education isn't very good.
Really? And now the education is probably good, but maybe it's not as engaging as you would like.
Yes and no. It felt like not that I had a lot of free time, but it felt like the work was easy enough to get done within the period of the time classroom with extra time left over to be on your phone. So you kind of built a habit of you do work and then be on your phone, and it would just overlap, and then you would just be on your phone more than you'd be doing work, but you'd still get it done.
Did you ever sit next to a friend who texted you instead of turned to you and said, "Hey, I want to talk to you"?
No, never. No, God, absolutely not. Wow, that would be insane. Oh my gosh, no.
I bet it happens.
No, it probably does. I've had like friends look at me from across the room, and then like they get an idea, and then they text me. Okay. You know, like if we're not supposed to be talking or something's happening.
Oh,
but
I see.
Never next to me. No, that's wild.
Okay, so trades, vocational options for when you are out of high school, was that presented very much? Because we have had people on this show from Saba and from other places that say, you know what, the trades are hurting. The number of plumbers we need, and framers, and drywall, and AC techs, and everything. Absolutely insane. Did they ever pitch that, or is kind of like throw everybody to college?
No, they definitely pitched it. I mean, at our school, they have the JTED program, which is the youth, like, nursing, construction, plumbing, HVAC, stuff like that. It's entry-level programs to get certified out of high school. But it's not the school's fault, but it's almost just like a stigma that you kind of have to go further your education no matter what. It almost feels from just, whether that's from movies, TV, just all kinds of media, that you should be going to college instead of going into construction or trades.
Okay. And Karu, you see that too. I mean, I think you have a kid here. It's pretty clear your kid was going to be heading on the college track. But there are a lot out there who I think the trades are downplayed or just not even presented to some people.
Well, now you're going to get into a whole thing about work and kids.
Sure.
And when they get into it. And for example, like Cutter, he's doing painting. He's painting an office exterior. He does work on cars. He does landscaping stuff. So he's out there doing it.
Right.
So I think that's, to that point.
And that is valuable. That's a terrific education. And but again, it's like we want to send everybody to college.
Yeah. And there's the point right there. So how do you get them into the trade? I think you get them teaching them like, hey, here's your options with work, with the trades. You can go figure it out. You can get a mm-hmm. taste of it. Or if you don't like it, move on to college.
Okay, very good. Our thanks to you, Cutter and Carew. Tell our listeners where they can learn more about your book, The Legacy Letters, because we didn't have a chance to talk about it. We've talked about it before, just real quick.
Yeah, thelegacyletters.com.
Okay.
And that's a great place to check it out.
Okay. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, and especially my friend John Couch on the other side of the glass, and producer Rosemary Brent, you make it a great rest of your Monday.